So, yeah, just if you guys have done some wrong things, or maybe you've done some, maybe you stole money like I did, it's always better to go confess your sins and to find forgiveness. And I didn't get a spanking. I think I might have gotten a talking to, but I didn't get a spanking, which I was happy about that. But it's also very, very freeing to confess that those sins and to get them off my heart. All right, well, let's pray, and then you guys can go back to your parents. Lord, we come before you this morning. We thank you for these children. Lord, I pray that you would work in their hearts and that you would give them the strength to do the right thing and to resist the temptations and the lusts or the desires that are wrong that they might have. Lord, I pray that you would give them strength and to do the right thing and to confess and to make things right as they go throughout their life. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you can go back to your parents.
Hey, can we have a song?
Let's sing verse 1 and 2 of 304. Number 304, verses 1 and 2. Number 304, it may be at morn. No, it may be at morn when the day is awaking, when sunlight through darkness and shadow is breaking, that Jesus will come in the chorus of glory to receive. All right, well, good morning. Greet you in Jesus' name. Thank you for those songs, Abe. The one song that you led this morning, I just wanted to look at some of those words again. Seems like this is turned up a little high. Muse, O my soul, number 952. What's that word muse mean? Does anybody know? Muse, think about it. So here, it's just an admonition to think about your narrow span of time. This is very short, this time that we have. Let eternity yonder speak to thee. So let eternity speak to us. That last Sunday I showed that billboard that says, consider eternity. I think that's what this song is saying. And then it says to walk circumspectly, verse 2. Buy up the time. Judge the moment correctly. Shun the evil day. Don't be unwise, it says. And then the last verse, time will not linger. Don't refuse all delusion, or just don't be deceived. Time is not going to time is not going to keep on going forever. It's going to end. Few are thy days at best. And then it says, act. Start doing something. Do something so that your sins will, it says, act lest thy sins be brought to confusion. And so forth. God thy devotion alone doth deserve. So only God deserves your devotion. Yield to his kingdom all thy days. And he says, he from destruction your works will preserve, and crown with glory all thy ways. So think about that. Consider eternity. This life is so short. Yes.
Did you read the copywriter?
Yeah, I was going to mention that. This guy who wrote it, Jeffrey Martin. He was killed at 18 years old in a car wreck, crashed into. I think he might have hit some ice when this happened. My friend John D. Martin, he wrote the words to it based on a devotions that Jeffrey gave not too long. I think maybe 2 weeks before his accident. But Jeffrey wrote the music, and then Jeffrey at age 18, he hit some ice or something, but went across the lane. I think it was he was going home from a Bible school program or something. Crossed the middle line, hit a truck head on, and he was killed instantly in that crash. So, very sobering song, very sobering circumstances. Let's think about that. Have a few announcements here. We have a fellowship meal today, I believe. Looks like the crock pots are in the back. We also have a Wednesday prayer meeting this week at 7:15. Also, this is the week of Bible school. If anybody wants to listen in, I listened in a little bit to the service this morning at Living Hope. And I think you'll be able to listen in probably starting on Tuesday. Tuesday is the Bible school. So if anybody wants to listen in on that. Any other announcements or prayer requests before we go on? Okay, very good. Thank you. Anything else?
Just continue to pray for Elizabeth Lloyd, I guess. They don't give them much time to live.
Right. Yeah, so Elizabeth Lloyd, Josiah Mahler, he's still struggling, I guess. Some of the reports we've gotten from his health issues. And then he also has a wedding coming up, so we should pray about that. And yeah, Trevor, really sick. Jeremy's been sick. Yvonne, is she still sick? Wow, so this is really dragging on. Christian, okay. Somebody else? I see.
People are getting out for 3-4 days and saying it's the worst they've ever been sick.
What meeting was this?
Fire department.
Okay. So they know about it. I mean, it's not just us. It's the whole community.
People down in Eugene were sick. Someone says out sick from work, figures at least 3 or 4 days before they're back.
Wow. Yeah, Trevor said it was going around at his work, and now he has it. And he was over at our place Friday night, so if we get sick, you'll know why. But we're not sick yet. Anything else? We can also, as we pray, let's rejoice about the good report, at least so far, about Lindsay Mast.
Also, Nikki. We had prayed for her last Wednesday.
Yeah. Okay. So that's some good news.
I'm not sure if they were assuming before the cancer, or if they really, the doctor saw it was, and then it's not, whatever. So praise the Lord, it's not.
Yeah, amen. Okay, well, maybe we could all stand together and we'll pray together and commit this time to the Lord that we have. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And I pray that you would help us and teach us to muse, to think about how short this time that we have is, that eternity is coming, that your kingdom is available to those of us who choose to pursue it, to seek you. So, Lord, I pray for each person here that we would turn from sin, that we would live for your kingdom, that we would contemplate the brevity of life. I pray that today would be a step in that direction. I pray for those that are sick, Lord. I think of Jeremy at home, and I think Matthew, I heard, was sick, and I pray for Trevor, and I pray for this community. It's just going around. I pray that it would just be a means of pointing all of us to the fact that we live in these frail bodies that are going to die, and that there is a judgment after death. So, Lord, teach us to contemplate those things. We pray for Josiah Mahler as he gets ready for this wedding, yet he's struggling with these health issues. I pray for healing there. I think also of Elizabeth Lloyd and how the report came back that there's not much hope, at least medically speaking. But Lord, I pray that you would bless her and that family. And I pray for healing, Lord, if it be your will. If you have a work for her to do yet, may you show that by granting a miraculous healing. And Lord, I pray that whether by life or by death, your will would be accomplished and people would be pointed towards you. I pray for Streetlight Ministries down there in California, that you would bless that work and continue to touch people with the gospel. I pray for Lindsay Mass, and Lord, we thank you for the good reports that we've been hearing about that. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy, for your love. And Lord, others that are sick, Yvonne, and I think there's probably others that we just, Christian, I pray, God, for him. I pray that you'd grant healing. Father, just protect us, we pray, from this sickness. Help us to continue on in health, those of us that still have health. But Lord, I pray also that you guide us through this service now that we have together. Help our minds to be pointed toward you. We just thank you and bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. All right, well, if you look at your calendars, it has the preacher that is going to be preaching this morning as Jeremy King. Now, he's not here. He's homesick. So that isn't working out quite like the plans were. So the question is, well, what do we do? At the last minute, somebody gets sick. What can we do to make our time that we have here worthwhile? Well, I'll give you some of my thoughts. I've been thinking a lot about Scripture familiarity, Scripture and how it can speak to us. And as I look at the Bible, I think of different sections of the Bible, and I think of Old Testament. And sometimes I get to the point in my own Bible reading, I think, hey, you know, it's been a while since I've read through the Old Testament. Let's go back and read through that. And then there's this section in the middle called Psalms and Proverbs. And, you know, sometimes I'll spend time reading Psalms and Proverbs. And then you get up to the New Testament. New Testament is where I really like to spend a lot of time. And there's three sections of the New Testament. There's the four Gospels and plus Acts, which is, just hold on to that for now. He's got a mic back there that we might need. You can, this feeds into the phone line, right?
If you're going to the bar a lot, don't want this.
Okay, all right. Well, we'll see. I won't be over there very much. But, So the three sections of the New Testament are the historical parts, the four Gospels plus Acts, and then you have the Pauline epistles, the next 13 books of the Bible. And then at the end of the New Testament, we have nine books that have kind of a scattering of different authors. You have Hebrews, which we're not sure who wrote Hebrews exactly. Some people believe Paul did. Some people say Apollos maybe did it, but we don't know for sure. And then you have James, and then you have the books of Peter, and then some books by John, and then you have Revelation. Oh, and there is Jude as well. And I've been especially thinking about that last section, the final third section, the final section, the third section of the New Testament. And so I'm going to ask your help this morning. Those of you that are here, I would like you to think of that section. And now I'm going to speak to especially all those that are, yeah, I guess if you're visitors, I'm going to let you off the hook, okay? But the members that are here, and if you're a lady, I'll let you off the hook. So the men, I would like you to pick out a passage of Scripture and read it to us here in a little bit. We'll let you come up here behind the mic and read us a passage from those nine books. I'll just put them up here. I'll just put the abbreviation. So it starts with Hebrews, James, 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st Peter, 2nd Peter. Let's see, what's next? 1st John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. And then we have Jude and Revelation. Did I miss one? I think that's supposed to be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Yeah, 9 books. So pick a chapter from one of those books. I'm thinking read a chapter. Now, if you decide, hey, the chapter that I picked is too long, you only will read half of it, that's okay. Now, I'm going to start. I'll start with 1 Peter chapter 2, and I'm going to read this. And I kind of figured as I thought about this, we don't have a lot of time. I think each person's going to have, if each married man takes a turn, and if each person takes 4.5 minutes, that's about going to use up all our time. So I just, I'm not asking you for comments on this. You can if you want to, but keep in mind 4.5 minutes doesn't allow for very many comments on your passage. And also keep that in mind when you, and again when you decide what to read. So we're going to read 1 Peter chapter 2. And then the question comes, well, who's next? Well, I think we're going to go from an order of age. So after me, we'll start at the oldest and work down, which, Bob, I think that makes you the next one in line. And what I want you to do is tell us what the passage is. Tell us what version you're reading from. Whatever version you're reading from. Just in case we have the ability to follow along. I think it'd be great if we could follow along. It's not always a possibility, but if you have that option, let's follow along when somebody is reading. The next person after Bob, I think, would be Carl. I think after Carl would be Ben Smith. Is that right? And beyond that, I think you're going to have to kind of look at each other and decide where does the age go. So we'll keep working our way down. Does anybody have any questions about this before we read 1 Peter chapter 2? And we're going to see if we can each of us read a chapter or, again, a section. If you want to pick out 10 or 20 verses and only read that in your 4.5 minutes, you can do that. And I'm going to see how long it takes me, and so you can kind of compare. So 1 Peter chapter 2. Bob, you be ready to get up after this. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. I didn't tell you which version I'm reading from, but I'm reading from the King James here. Sorry, I missed that. Verse 5, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up a spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God by Christ, by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they shall behold glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as they which are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, and not using your liberty as a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it, if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if ye do well and suffer for it, and take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself unto him that judgeth righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but now are returned to the shepherd and bishop of your souls. God bless.
First John chapter 2, I'll be reading out of New King James. First John chapter 2. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours, but also for the whole world. Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have heard, which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. do not love the world, nor the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they were out that they might be made manifest, and none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and there is no lie, and that is no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. These things I have written to you, considering those who try to deceive you. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him. And when he appears, you may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him.
James 3, James 3, King James. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a word of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine, figs, so can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not, lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruit, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Also, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace.
First John 3. Thanks to Bob for making choice easier. And King James is what I have. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us.
I'll be reading out of the ESV and James 2, beginning in verse 14. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or a sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace and be warmed and filled without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is it? Also, so also by faith itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was filled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in that same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. As I was thinking about that, I was thinking about, what is our faith today? What are the works of our faith today? And the thought that came to my mind is the poor man, whether he got there by his own accord or just some unfortunate circumstances, walking along the road, what would Jesus do if he saw that or saw the man sitting along the road with a sign, whether he truly is poor or in need or not? What would Jesus do in a situation like that? Would he help him out? Would he holler out the window, God bless you, and go on his way? What would Jesus do? That's something that I would like for us to think about.
Okay, I would like to read Hebrews chapter 12. Not the whole thing. I will stop short. I think 17. So Hebrews chapter 12. And I'm going to read in New International to break it up a little bit. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God, at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then are you not legitimate? Not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and love? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best,
but God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone, and be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. See that no one is sexually immoral or godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son. Afterward, as you know, when he wanted to inherit this blessing, he was rejected. Even though he sought the blessing with tears, he could not change what he had done. And I'd like to read five more verses out of 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, starting in verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and declare unto you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. Thank you.
All right, I got permission to do something a little bit different. I'm going to read some chunks from some different verses, or different chapters. I'm going to be reading from the New King James, but you don't need to try to follow along because I'm going to be kind of jumping around. What I'm going to be reading is from Revelation, and in Revelation there's multiple places where different creatures are worshiping God, and I just want to read those words that they say as they're worshiping and praising God. Now, most of these are in the vision are said by, there's four living creatures that are around the throne of God, or there at the throne of God, and 24 elders by the throne of God. And then at some point, a huge host of angels joins in, is praising God. And if you keep going, you get to the point where a bunch of redeemed people are praising God. But I might not get that far. Anyway, I have some words of worship and praise that John saw in his vision of these creatures worshiping God on the throne. So what I want you to do, why don't you stand, change a position for you, and I invite you, if you want to, you can just close your eyes and just imagine yourself before the throne of God and these beautiful words of worship. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you are slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood. Out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Some of this is praise to Jesus. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor, and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. We give you thanks, O God, God Almighty, O Lord, God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that you should reward your servants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great, and should destroy those who destroy the earth. I think I'll stop there. You can be seated.
All right. Good morning. I'm going to read out of 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to read, I think it's 7 verses here, starting in verse 3. I'm reading out of ESV. I have a couple thoughts before, just to explain why I'm going to read this. Yesterday, I read a verse in Romans and was thinking about the idea of hope, the word hope in the Bible. It's all over in both the Old and the New Testament, but I guess I just didn't put a lot of thought into it before, and so I've been thinking about it the last couple of days, and it's a really interesting concept. We read in the Old Testament, or if you think about the people in the Old Testament, they were living in a world that, as you read through the Old Testament, so many bad things seem to happen. It never goes according to what God wants. Things always seem to be falling apart. There's some highlights, but then things seem to go downhill pretty quick after every highlight. But then you see this idea of hope, especially in the Psalms. But you see it other places where they say, I will hope in God. I will, my only hope is in God. And it's said various ways. And so what is the idea of hope? We're seeing somewhere that in Hebrew, the word just means to wait for. So I think hope is a patient waiting for God for what he is going to do. So it's patiently waiting and believing what God is going to do. And namely, for the people in the Old Testament, it was that he was going to send his Messiah and he was going to redeem them. He was going to save them, right? But in the New Testament, we have this idea of hope too. And I think the hope in the New Testament is similar. It's patiently waiting and believing what God will do. But we're looking forward to God's redeeming our lives here on earth, but also conquering all of evil. And there's so many aspects to it. But there's a hope that us believers should have as well. And it's also one other thing I want to say. It's not just optimism. Optimism is when you are looking at the circumstances around you and you're finding the good in it. Instead of pessimism, which is just finding all the bad things in your circumstances. But this is different. This isn't saying, well, there's some good things in our circumstances. This is saying our circumstances are really bad, but God is the one that's in control, and we have our hope in him. Okay, so with that in mind, let's read 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being kept, guarded through faith, for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Thank you.
I'm going to be reading 1 Peter chapter 5 from the King James Version. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for a filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that ye have suffered a while, making you perfect, established, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose, I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is a true grace of God wherein ye stand. The church that is at Babylon, elect together with you, salute you, and so doth Marcus my son. Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen.
I want to read the second book of John. I've always enjoyed being able to read an entire book in a short amount of time and be able to kind of see the person writing it, their thoughts through the entire thing. Instead of reading a couple chapters of something and the next day going back to it, being able to see the entire thoughts in a short amount of time has always been interesting to me and has a different feel. These smaller books... It feels a lot more like a letter being written personally to someone. So it's something I've always enjoyed. So let's read the second epistle of John here. The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also in all they that have known the truth. For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us, and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace, from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, and from the Son of the Father in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandments that ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. And this is a deceiver. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you, and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. Having many things to write unto thee, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen.